Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good evening, Patriots. Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt, the weekly podcast. This is episode 23-25 on this 27th August of 2023. This evening, I am going to cover more updates from Maui, the wildfires, and I'm going to talk about emergency communications, and I'm going to share some testimonies with you, real-world communications. But I want to go into what's going on in Maui. It is an absolute train wreck. Now, I will not be doing news and commentary this evening because the audio files that I spent an hour and a half tracking down, editing, pulling into my my audio bed, I wiped them out and deleted them. So I had to start over. So because of the time crunch, I did not have the time to go back through and pull all of my news stories and resources and everything. So we'll get right into it here segment one actually being what I had intended for segment two. Now we are at Civil Defense Communications, AMCON 5. A lot of stuff going on in the world, but we have no known imminent telecommunications threats. So that's why we are at AMCON 5. Someone said, are you serious? We're at the lowest AMCON level with the world is going to heck. And I'm like, well, yeah, but the AMCON level is the communications readiness level. It measures the threat levels to our communications and anticipating the need for increased communications readiness. Right now, there are no known threats. Yes, the world is absolutely topsy-turvy. It's on fire, or it's flooding, or it's experiencing something else to support the climate cult narrative, which brings us to wildfires. And what I'm going to discuss is all of these are related to wildfires, but the wildfire is the mechanism to achieving an end. Or at least in Maui, it gives them an opportunity to redeem themselves from their bungling and mishandling of previous disasters. Well, like I mentioned last week, it is apparent they didn't learn anything. Or maybe we didn't learn anything. Their point is not to help respond to a disaster in terms of helping American citizens recover without violating their rights and to creating more mass confusion like a enemy would deliberately creating mass confusion so that you can't even begin to comprehend what the enemy's plans are or what they're doing. Something from Sun Tzu there. So right now they have no communications. There is a guy named Eric who is with Hawaii Real Estate. And he basically has put his career on hold. He's trying to help Hawaii recover. And he's kind of turned into a journalist. And he's investigating to find out what's going on. They've actually formed a nonprofit organization where they are taking money and full accountability. They've got the bookkeepers in place. They've got everything is going toward aid and relief and helping these people. So a couple of these sources are independent journalists on social media influencers, which has become the enemy of the state. And I have an audio file to share with you from a press release. They only want official press releases. Of course, media are completely blacked out from Maui. There is one news crew in Maui, a Fox reporter, who the mayor of Lahaina tried running off, but he was able to get in only because his family owns property there and has for decades. So let's set the tone there. First of all, listen to what the mayor, let's go back to the governor of Maui, his attitude toward people reporting on events from Western Maui.
Doing reporting through social media is idiotic. Don't use social media. Do not rely on people who fancy themselves as influencers. The word influencer, right off the bat, suggests that they want to influence you.
Okay, so don't use and listen to social media. Listen to our official government reports. Because you're not even supposed to be getting information from the corporate media, because there is a total media blackout. Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, just put out a memorandum basically telling their people not to let any pictures or anything come out of that area. And incidentally, Jeff, what's one of these social media influencers? Jeff, his last name escapes me. It's in my notes here. And I have some audio bites from his. In fact, that was from his X feed. And what you just listened to with the governor. Well, he also picked this one up. This Fox reporter talking about getting harassed by the mayor there while they're trying to get information and report on the conditions on the ground. And I'm going to share those conditions with you here in just a moment. But listen to this Fox News reporter.
Pete, I can tell you that, to my knowledge, we here at Fox are the only national media in West Maui. West Maui is isolated physically and in terms of information from the rest of the world. Cell service is rough, and the only reason we got here is that, as you know, my family's been here for something like 40 years, and we have property here to get through the security checkpoints. In fact, Pete, the mayor of Maui yesterday tried to kick us out of West Maui, saying it's a media-free zone. It's not. There is a First Amendment, there is a United States Constitution, and this is a America.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him. And, well, this is America, or at least what's left of it. And so there's, from that Fox reporter, they're trying to run them off, telling them that this is a media-free zone. Now, they're not just putting up chain-link fencing around the burned-out area in Lahaina as if, you know, to keep looters out or something like that. This is, they got privacy screen, this black screen on the fencing, so you can't even see, you can't go into the area, you can't fly a drone anywhere near the area. They don't want people seeing what's going on inside of there. I don't know why, but this response from our own government is it's sad, to say the least. It's almost, it seems nefarious. How horribly this is being handled. And in fact, just this afternoon, a NATO C-17 just landed full of portable housing units. And these are, they're pretty slick. You can find them on usually Craigslist or eBay or one of the, they're, I don't know, probably about 17 to 25 grand. And it's like a big pallet, and it's got the built-in floor, electrical outlets. It unfolds. It's a modular, instant shelter or office space, or, you know, little like a tiny home. They got pallets of these. They're rolling off the C-17. Where'd they come from? From our government? Nope. This is the first shipment sponsored by the Hungarian government. Hungary, the European redoubt, the only Christian nation left in Europe, just delivered a C-17 full of portable housing to be delivered to the people in Hawaii to give them shelter. Unbelievable. It's It's absolutely, it's a shame. So you guys remember when, it was the 10th. So just a couple days after the fire, CNN runs this report saying portable cell service hotspots have arrived in Maui to help bring internet service to the thousands of people who may have been unable to call for help. And Verizon told CNN that Thursday, its teams are currently deploying the first batch of satellite-based mobile hotspots at evacuation sites in the areas of greatest need. Well, the Verizon's larger equipment, which is being barged over from Honolulu, is expected to arrive later that day. This includes Colts, the cells on light trucks, a mobile site on wheels that connects to a carrier service via satellite link, and a specialized satellite trailer used to provide service to a cell site that has a damaged fiber connection, which all of these did. Well, since then, we haven't heard anything else about mobile cell towers. And we've seen repeated reports of absolutely no or sketchy cell service, or you can't make a call. You can only text. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Many people cannot connect to these. And I don't know where the cell towers went. I don't know what they're being used for or who's using them. But these people are reporting that they can't use them. Now, let me take you this. Jeff Cygnus, he's reporting quite a bit from that area, and he's really agitated the government personnel from local to the state to federal, because he's reporting on what's going on there. Matter of fact, he is most likely one of the people they had in mind as a social influencer that you shouldn't listen to. But he goes to one of these sites. Now, this is just a few days old. Still, no cell service, no internet. And they're making people get papers, permission from the police, waiting in out for hours in line to get a permission slip to travel between unaffected areas. People that live in communities and towns that have... they have no power because the fire took out power to them, but their homes aren't damaged. They have multiple, this Jeff Cygnus videoed a 2 mile long line of cars waiting for government gasoline while there are fuel stations with full of fuel in underground storage tanks, completely unaffected by the fire. The only reason why they can't sell gas is because they don't have electricity and they don't have backup generators. So instead of the government bringing in the Seabees and, you know, Army Corps of Engineers and getting one of the millions of generators that our government has to wire in these gas stations and get people up and running, get them fuel. You wait in line. It took them 3 days because they're running out of fuel while they're sitting in line, creeping along bumper to bumper to get the government gas that they want to give you. They won't get the gas stations going that have, you know, hundreds of thousands of gallons right there where people could purchase it if they could get the stores open, but they don't. Anyway, he's at one of these relief centers walking around. And so listen to his narration of what these people are having to go through 2.5 weeks after the event.
I'm doing a voiceover. This is footage earlier at Napili Park. I didn't feel safe speaking freely about the situation while I was there, but the police are issuing permission slips for residents to freely come and go to their homes, to other parts of the island.
How long have you guys been in line to get these? 3 hours? I've been in line 3 hours, but it's probably longer now, you know?
Okay, I just didn't want to talk over where I was actually speaking live there, but I'm going to walk along the line so you can see there are thousands of people here at this park. There were two separate locations where they told people to come get these permission slips. which would allow them to leave their houses, travel to other parts of the island that were unaffected, and return. Now, one very important thing to note with all of this is many of these people, including us, live approximately 20 minutes away from the fire, and we are very, very far away from any structure or any building, car, anything like that that was directly affected by the fire. We watched the fire from very far away, and there was no fire here. Another important thing to note is the power is now back on. At the time, at least where we live, the power is back on at the time that I'm making this video. But we do not have communication, and we have some other issues still. Now, the thing that I don't understand, and I've asked many people who are police, who work for the mayor's office, I've asked them why this is necessary, why people cannot go freely from their houses to other parts of the island that were unaffected and that have medical supplies and other things that they may need, and free communication to the outside world without having to hop or without having to hike to the top of a hill and get to a tower on Molokai, which is what I've been having to do. And nobody's been able to tell me why this is necessary, what the safety concern is with people who live here leaving their houses and returning. But I don't believe anything they tell you about this. I mean, a lot of people have said, the people can do that. But I have interviews of many residents saying otherwise, where they were, you know, stuck in Kihei, stuck downtown. And so you're given this choice. And then they tell you that, there's a medical trailer. There's a medical trailer down in Gateway, which is there sometimes and has some things, but it doesn't have the medication that I need. It doesn't have the medication that many other people need. I've interviewed people who cannot get their medication, and they're being given a choice of leave your house without being able to potentially come back and be homeless downtown, live in your car, whatever, and then you can get your medication, then you can get the food you want to eat, then you can get the water you want to drink, or stay here and eat the food that we designate to you, drink the water, get the information that you need. I've actually been told by multiple people when I've complained about the fact that we don't have free communication to the outside world, I've been told all the information that you need is coming from the planes, which is insane. I mean, it's basically, you know, these planes fly overhead and they give you these little 5-second messages, and that's it. That's all we have. And then I've been told, you know, there's free Wi-Fi here, there's free Wi-Fi there. This I have not found. I've been all over the West Side, at least for me personally and for my wife, we have not been able to connect to any of these Wi-Fi networks with any success. So there's a lot of crazy things going on out here. There's a lot of things that are not right, in my opinion. Please stay tuned.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot that's not right. There was so much in that. It's staggering that this far out from the event that they're still contending with gross negligence and mishandling and no answers to their questions. Everything they're promised doesn't happen. They don't even get promises a lot of times. They've shut down multiple relief centers without explanation. The officers just say, I'm just following orders. And these people are getting information usually from word of mouth. And this is what caught my attention. He said that they were told all the information you need when asked about getting communications to the outside world and, you know, texts and cell phones and things working again, all the information you need will be given to you from the planes. And that caught my attention. I'm like, what are they talking about? Coming, they got planes, like electronic platforms where the flying cell towers or what? No, they're actually, it's like a small, like a Cessna with huge loudspeakers telling them where to get food and water. And given that this is Orwellian. This is like, it's pretty creepy. It's almost like something you'd see on 1984, something out of China, except they use drones for theirs. But he actually took a video of this. Listen to this. This is a plane flying over, giving them instructions about where to go get food and water and supplies. No, this isn't Soviet era. This isn't East Germany. This is the United States of America last week. And that's how they're telling them all the information you need will come from that. Where are now? Apparently there's a conglomeration of businesses that have all chipped in, gotten together to get some type of internet and cell connectivity. I don't know if they're using Starlink or what. I just saw the article come up. I didn't get enough time to research it. But it's the people that are jumping in and helping each other are the ones that are effective. And they don't want you communicating. They don't want you seeing what's going on. They don't want to answer your questions, and they definitely don't want anybody putting out any other information besides what's official from the mayor and from the governor. And we saw how well that worked out in Hurricane Katrina, didn't we? And I think every disaster since, they don't get it right. They could be, the sinister side of me is saying, are these people just not letting a good disaster go to waste? Because they have not done anything to build trust, but they've done, well, countless things to erode our trust. In fact, even to foment distrust, suspicion. They did that, not us. So anyway, this real estate agent, Eric, he's been posting quite a bit, really revealing what's going on through the fires and through the response. And he's also extremely suspicious. In fact, he's calling this like the perfect crime, if it's a crime. And he's saying, I don't know if there's a crime here, but it doesn't look good. And these are the things that are not adding up. And they're evading the people's questions when they're trying to gain an understanding of what's happened, what the government is doing, what their intentions are, and then also a response that shows that somebody has a different agenda than really helping. They're doing the opposite of helping the people. So anyway, you know, I'm really particularly interested in the communication situation there. And so I honed in on one of his more recent videos describing, and now he's able to do this because he has Starlink, and he's able to access the rest of the world. But he said earlier in his video, most of the people around him have no connection to the outside world. And he's only able to do these videos because of his Starlink, and which is one of the things that he was looking at as a solution so this doesn't happen again in the future. But this is going to happen again in the future, and we are going to have to be self-reliant communications, and they're going to try to shut it down. Right, but anyway, listen to what Eric from Hawaii Real Estate says.
Number 3, no cell phone coverage. That morning, that day, there was no cell phone coverage. No one could communicate. A text message alarm. We still receive text messages, but no text message alert was sent out. No sirens were sent out. No sirens, no text message, not a single text message since this has occurred. Here we are, 14, 15 days later, no cell phone coverage, no internet, still no text messages like, hey, this is the address to go to do this. They're not sending any text messages, but text messages have worked, receiving through this entire crisis. This is the perfect crime. There was no exits. On top of it, is it?
Okay, so once again, another testimony of no communications in the area. This is inexcusable in today's day and age when you have one isolated disaster that you can bring all of your resources to bear from across the country to descend on that one location. These people should have all been in portable shelter housing in under 48 hours with cell phone service, data, mobile cell towers, all of that. But they're not. So you have to ask why. It shows intent to me. Now, the other interesting thing is since day one, ham radio has been AWOL over there. They said all because of the lack of ham operators in the area. There are actually, I'd have to look again, 200 or 300 licensed ham operators in that area. We're not hearing anything. I'm not hearing any reports from ham radio. I don't understand why. Well, maybe it's a self-deploying thing. Why the ARRL or the ARRS isn't on the ground with a booth, with a tent, with a communications tent where they can send Winlink emails, third-party communications to loved ones or texts, SMS texts using Winlink. They could work as a communications hub so people could, you know, once a day send something to their loved ones, send an email, and put a Starlink set up there at a signal center as a hub so that they have some way of getting information in and out of there to the people. The problem with ARRS is they already approached the Red Cross and said, hey, you need some help? They said, nope, we have cell phones and satellite phones, go away. So the ARRS said, okay. Now they talk about it and they try to share what they do know on the HF net, but that's not helping the people on the ground. And they have a very institutionalized mentality. Well, that's their mission, to support local government when there's no comms. But when you're told, go away, and you see that there's a need, they can't self-deploy. ARRS has a rule that they can't self-deploy. But I can guarantee if this happened somewhere where there was an AMRON net, there'd be AMRON operators on the ground providing communications, because we do not have a policy not to self-deploy. And where there's a need, this is criminal not to be able to provide adequate response to this disaster, including communications. God bless those with portable Starlink nodes that they rolled into the area. I haven't heard any other status. I haven't heard anything from Starlink either, by the way. They sent satellite uplinks, you know, by the truckload to Ukraine. I'm not hearing anything about Hungary is the only one that sent any meaningful support, except for the locals that are putting together their responses. So anyway, we'll continue to monitor this. But my friends, there is a lot to learn from this. This isn't 12 years ago. This isn't Hurricane Katrina. This is not something that, you know, a decade ago and, oh, we've probably learned since then. We can tell now the government hasn't learned anything that benefits us. And we can also see that citizens haven't learned anything either. And we have got to be self-reliant. We've got to be ready to provide communications, because these people are starving and dying of thirst for water and information. Those are the two things they keep saying over and over and over ad nauseum. So be prepared to provide emergency communications if nobody else will in your communities. And of course, that means us having our own stuff up and running and together. We do have one AMRON operator that I had been corresponding with, but he's over on, I think, the Big Island or Hawaii, not Maui. And he's pretty disappointed in the ARRS performance over there, obviously. But anyway, let's take a break. I'm going to share, there's some positive things here. I have a couple testimonies where some Amron operators actually, in one case, responded and deployed, self-deployed in response to a fire and probably saved lives and homes, certain of it. And another one, it's a great opportunity, real-world situation, a fire in Northern California where an Amron Core operator put together a series of sit reps keeping us posted on what's going on there. And so this was, it's not something that he could directly help with, but it was a great training opportunity that he seized and put together situation reports to share with the rest of the Western Amron operators, you know, in the Western region, to keep the rest of us informed. So it was great training based on a real world situation and also lessons to be learned. If you pay attention, there's these are like little gold nuggets. So I'll share those with you in the next segment. Stick around. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
In 1943, the following directive was issued from party headquarters to all communists in the United States. It read, "When certain obstructionists become too irritating, label them after suitable buildups as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semitic, and use the prestige of anti-fascist and tolerance organizations to discredit them. In the public mind, constantly associate those who oppose us with those names which already have a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind."
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder, select your preferred carry style, and order your holster today.
Good evening, Patriots. If you're tuning in late, this is segment two, doing it a little bit different. There's not a news and commentary this week because of a technical glitch that I had. Wiped out all my audio files that I let you listen to in the last segment. And in order to recover those, I had to forego the news and commentary. I didn't have the time to get to those. So it happens. All right, in this segment here, I want to share some testimonials with you. We saw the abysmal failure of communications, or heard those, in segment one. So segment two, I want to go into a little bit more of a positive note here. Amron operators stepping up. Now, the first one is a report on the fires affecting, well, it's called the Smith River Fire Complex. It was submitted by Papa 04 from Southern Oregon. And then I'm going to share a testimony of some Texas Amron operators who jumped on a fire right at the very beginning of it. And because of their quick action and having their communications ready and serviceable, ready to deploy, they were able to respond in a very honorable and heroic way, if you ask me. So, there's a series of reports that came out from Papa 04 in Southern Oregon related to the Smith Fire, the Smith River Fire Complex. And I will share with you part two, or the second related traffic that he put together in a situation report. And part three, because of the value of it from a emergency communications perspective, and hopefully you'll enjoy and you'll appreciate this. And And also, hopefully, this will inspire many of you to take opportunities like this to do some real-world training and practice, putting together a situation report. He sent it out over the persistent presence net, so he didn't have to wait for a net, per se. But he put it out to the AMRON, QST AMRON, whoever's on the air responding right now, monitoring right now, here's this report. And of course, he was acknowledged by several other operators on the air. And so it was great. But here we go. Part two. As of this report, the entire town of Crescent City, California, has been without power for approximately 3 days. Now, this is a real world situation. And this is just this week. This is like 72 hours old. Pacific Power has de-energized a transmission line serving the Crescent City, California area for the safety of the public and emergency responders. The duration of the outage is unknown at this time, but customers should be prepared for multiple days without power. The Smith River Complex is a series of lightning-caused fires burning in just over 50,000 acres with 0% containment and growing south of the Oregon border. The air is reasonably clear in town due to the coastal winds pushing the smoke east. On the 20th, people were observed fighting over generators at the Home Depot store, and others are driving crazy in town trying to either flee or find resources. As of yesterday, the 21st, the city was allowing electricians to hardwire home generators to their house main panel. A few hours in the evening, some large industrial generators were provided by Pacific Power and wired into substations serving critical areas and senior living locations, which is about 30% of the town. Pacific Power informed the town that it may just be a temporary fix. Communications is as follows. Cellular, voice, and texting, although spotty, Wi-Fi is working for the areas that have power. Cable TV, no. Local AM, FM, yes. Facebook is being used heavily for information and communications, probably by the government, local community. Partial ham, one small area repeater on top of a building south of town. A wide area repeater called Camp 6 in Gasquet is down, unknown reason. Some business, hotels, and contractors are price gouging. Home Depot, Fred Meyer, and a couple others are doing their best to help by ordering extra generators and bags of ice, and some businesses are offering free food. Even reports of a couple Airbnb offering free lodging. This is good community information. We'll update when possible. Nothing further. End of message. So part three came August 23rd, or... Yes, August 23rd. So this is what, 4 days old. So 96 hours. Part three. As of today, August 23rd, 2023, Pacific Power has brought in more large generators to power about 90% of the town of Crescent City. Smith River's Rowdy Creek area north of Crescent City is on level two evacuation orders. Prepare to go. If 101 North gets closed, then the only access left to town is 101 South, toward Eureka, California. The 199 that connects Crescent City and Grants Pass, Oregon, has been closed for 6 days already with no known date to reopen. A few miles of power lines that affect the town have been destroyed by the fire, and my assumption is that the large generators will be in place for some time. The approximate date of having the fire under full control, mop up, is sometime in December of this year. So they're in for the long haul. Now, with fires raging all over the world, Texas, no exemption. Matter of fact, they've had some doozies. It's amazing looking at the fire map. There's fires just all over the place. But I received this from our Texas station, Papa Delta 10 in Jasper County, Texas. So listen to this. Thank you, AMRON. I thought you might be interested in a testimonial. Yes, indeed. Tonight, our local AMRON net turned into a wildfire response net. We maintain a persistent presence on 146.420 and conduct a nightly net. Good on you. On Monday nights, I receive the 80-meter Texas Subregional AMRON digital net and turn right around and rebroadcast or transmit the training topic to our 2-meter Amron voice net. Excellent. They get it. This is great. Our official Amron net night is Thursday, on which I transmit the AIB, the Amron Intelligence Brief, and any other digital traffic that I've received during the preceding days. This is excellent. Tonight was supposed to be our regular Amron net. However, on the way home from work, one of our operators spotted smoke and activated the net as a wildfire response net. We are in serious drought conditions and under a red flag warning. In another part of our county today, a wildfire caused emergency evacuations and destroyed numerous homes and structures. Multiple Amron base stations and mobile stations activated, coordinated the discovery of a wildfire, and notified emergency response. A firefighter at his mother's house, who happens to be one of our Amron base station operators, was curiously monitoring our net. As soon as we confirmed the fire, he was out the door and on his way before the fire department could send out their notification tone. He was the first official responder on site. Our Amron operators stationed a vehicle at a main road to lead the responders into the fire site, while other operators stayed at the site and made sure gates were set so cattle would not get loose and the fire department could get in quickly. Though the coordinated efforts of our Amron stations using amateur radio via our persistent presence net, or through the coordinated efforts, we were able to coordinate the discovery of a wildfire, notify emergency response, and assist the local fire department and forestry service to bring the fire under control and avert what could have been a serious disaster. God is awesome, and his mercy endures forever. And that's signed Papa Delta 10. So thank you, Papa Delta 10, for sharing that great testimony. Another testimony, and this is going to be a posting at Amron.com. It's just because we need these type of testimonies as an encouragement to others and as recognition to those who maintain their equipment. They train and practice regularly. They're doing it right. There's HF digital mode, digital data mode communications being received and then disseminated at the local level. This is exactly how it's supposed to work. So great, great work. All right, we'll come back in segment 3. Lady Liberty will be joining me in the studio. She'll be here any moment. And it's got some announcements and some updates that we're looking forward to sharing. So stick around. We'll be back right after this.
Patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan, and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
All right, welcome back, Patriots, to the third and final segment, Radio Free Redoubt, episode 23-25. And I do have Lady Liberty joining me in the studio here for segment 3. Good evening, Lady Liberty.
Well, good evening to you. Good evening to everyone out there. Glad to be here, as always.
Absolutely. It is a beautiful evening in the American Redoubt.
Yes. In fact, we just saw the huge moon coming up over the horizon.
Huge.
Yep, that's huge.
Huge. Yep.
That's right. Well, and so tonight we wanted to actually announce that we're going to be offering a $500 award. Okay, so this is something that you guys have already heard about you know, when we've been talking about it before, about this checkmate bill.
Yes.
That I wrote, and I also wrote an introduction letter so that people could copy and paste and print out and send to their favorite congressmen and U.S. senators.
Right.
And we could try to get this bill passed, at least in the House, and then force it through the Senate as a means of stopping the child trafficking.
Yes.
And so this checkmate bill is multifold and multi-strategic, by the way. It is the fastest way to stop child trafficking, and it is facilitated through banning the electronic voting machines.
That's right.
And
that is a critical component. That will fix child trafficking because it will seal the border.
Yes.
And it'll also put people in charge that will prosecute crimes, Soros-backed DAs.
Right.
And it will, all these senators who had their elections stolen and President Trump who had his election stolen.
Yep.
Banning the electronic voting machines would be the death knell.
Yes.
That's their favorite trick up their sleeve. They have other tricks up their sleeves, but if you attacked that right there,
that's their biggest weapon.
It would bring it to its knees. Yep.
Yeah, that's their biggest weapon that they have against the American people right now is the fact that they control the elections. There is no such thing as a legitimate election anymore in the United States, and hasn't been since the year 2000 when electronic voting machines were introduced into this nation.
Yeah, and I would just like to also clarify something here. The bill that Lady Liberty wrote up, it's not just a really good idea that she wrote down on paper and seeing if somebody will, you know, she has experience successfully writing bills when she was involved in the property rights movement and leading that. She was also the legislative assistant for Representative Matt Shea in Olympia. And so
And I wrote bills there and resolutions there as well. So
yeah,
I've got a lot of experience in doing that. And so the whole point being that, you know, a person might ask, well, how on earth is banning electronic voting machines going to stop child trafficking? Well, so let's just, you know, follow it up the chain of how this works, right? So first of all, why do we have rampant child trafficking right now? It's because the border's open.
Right.
Why is the border wide open? Because Biden opened it the day that he got into office.
That's right.
Fraudulently, we might add. And so how did he get into office fraudulently? Because of the electronic voting machines.
Right.
And so there you have it. If, you know, had we had legitimate elections to begin with, where there was paper ballots, a voter ID, you know, you show your ID when you go to vote, we would have had our President Trump. We would not have had wide open borders. There wouldn't be rampant child trafficking being facilitated through this wide open border.
That's right.
And so it's a pretty short stint to get from A to D, basically. You know, electronic voting machines equals child trafficking.
Let's call it a straight line.
Right.
There's a straight line for you.
That's right.
So, this is the only way we're going to be able to do it. And there's
right.
They keep talking about, oh, Trump's going to win. We're, you know, he's going to win in 2023. The reason why the left, the communists, the globalists are freaking out and going after Trump like they are is because they are terrified that he could win. But they're not, because they're not certain that, well, let me put it this way. A lot of voter integrity laws have been passed at the state levels, but a lot of them are also pretty weak.
Right.
So we're not absolutely certain that it's enough for him to get in without the election being stolen.
I don't think it is.
But they're not certain that they can pull it off. So they have to protect the electronic voting machines. This is going to be like smacking a hornet's nest, which is just fine. We got the raid.
That's right. Well, and I truly don't believe anybody has a chance of getting elected that is, you know, that is...
That's not chosen.
Right. That's not chosen by the communists.
Well, as long as we have this system, and as particularly the electronic voting machines, people are not elected. They're selected.
Yep, that's right.
That is how we lost our country.
Right.
We experienced a coup, and this is the last shot we're going to have of getting it back if they don't get us into a thermonuclear war between now and then,
right,
or you know, some other drastic World Economic Forum ace up their sleeves.
Well, so here's the thing. You might think that it's an impossibility to get a bill like this passed where Congress says, hey, we must ban the electronic voting machines. Let me tell you why it's not an impossibility, and let me tell you why it is altogether possible. Because those people in Congress, they know that child trafficking is a horror. I mean, this is literally child butchery between adrenochrome harvesting, between, oh my gosh, the blood draws from these little kids. They have to be four and under in order to harvest blood for stem cell technology.
Right.
I mean, there's such... Not even to mention the sex trafficking. Good Lord. That's the horror in and of itself. But then it gets into the sadistic, the satanic. And this has got to stop. This is worse than any other issue on the planet. And so the fact is that we have to appeal to their humanity and say, this must stop. This is a God-given nation.
Right.
This is the best nation in the world, and we are letting that happen here. That is the biggest disgrace to the Lord on the planet.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, you know, yes, the child trafficking must stop. And yes, the fastest way to do it is to ban the electronic voting machines. And so how do you sell it to the communists? Well, you tell them, if you don't sign this bill, you're saying what? That you support child trafficking, which is illegal? You can't not support this bill. This is the biggest tragedy on the planet. You have to sign this bill.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to label you as a pedophile supporter. You know,
well, exactly. Even the sick and the twisted and the perverted in Congress has to put on a front that they're opposed to it.
Right.
So, If you do not support this bill, you're right. This is why we kind of...
This is a checkmate bill.
This is why we call it the checkmate bill, because they cannot...
They're darned if they do, and they're darned if they don't.
Right.
That's a checkmate.
Exactly.
Same thing that they did to Trump by forcing the whole vaccine, saying if you don't provide a vaccine, you're in charge, you're responsible for all these deaths. And if you do provide a vaccine... Well, then, gosh, here we're going to sneak in this vaccine that kills everybody.
Exactly.
And then everybody's going to blame you either way for deaths or no or less deaths, you know?
That's right.
And so that was a checkmate. We've got the counter checkmate. This has got to happen.
Absolutely. And $500.
That's right.
To any, the first person who gets their congressman to get this passed as a bill.
That's right. Because once everybody signs and passes this bill, there is never going to be another communist legally elected in this nation again, guaranteed.
Yeah. So there you go. You get your marching orders. Somebody out there is going to be motivated to push the bill, present the bill, follow up with the bill.
That's right. And if you don't hear a response, or if you get a lazy response, send them another 50 copies of it and flood their office. Don't take no for an answer.
Right.
I've done that before. It works.
Yep. There you go. All right, guys. Well, we're out of time. You have a blessed week out there. You be safe. And, man, keep your situational awareness turned all the way up. It's a crazy world out there. Keep your comms up and stay in prayer. Do your fighting on your knees right now because, well, that's the battle that we're in. Thank you, Lady Liberty, for being with us.
Glad to be able to share that information.
All right, you've been listening to The Voice of the American Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. Good night.